with that. So really today I just want us to join together and give thanks to him and really come before the Lord and ask him to reveal more of his word to us so that we might know more of him and walk with him more closely. That's the important bit, really. So I'd just like to start today by reading a psalm. I won't ask you to memorize it all. I was very impressed by how people were able to memorize their verses. Well done. That's really good. And it's important to memorize scripture because it actually builds you up. It really does. It strengthens you in your spirit, in your soul. And God is pleased when we do things like that. So please don't ever kind of think that it's a bit of a chore, because there's actually something the good that God ministers to our soul when we memorize his word that he does for us. But today I just want to begin, before we sing our first hymn, by reading this. This is Psalm 100. And this is what the psalmist says. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. You know, that psalm was written thousands of years ago, but the truth is still relevant today. God's faithfulness continues through all generations, and we're here today to celebrate that. I like those two lines. Fill the earth with songs of worship. Tell the wonders of creation's King. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit later on when I share with you. But I'm going to ask now if we can have our first reading. I understand there's going to be a bit of help with this. Our reading is taken from Galatians chapter 6. Verses 1 to 10. Thank you very much.
Brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, and be careful not to fall onto the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are somebody when they are nobody, they are following themselves. Each person should test their own actions. Then they can take pride of themselves. They won't be comparing themselves to someone else. Each person should carry their own load. But those who are taught the word should share all good things with their teacher. Don't be fooled. You can't outsmart God. A man gathers a crop from what he plants. Some people plant to please their desires, controlled by sin. From these desires, they will harvest death. Others plant to please the Holy Spirit. From the Spirit, they will harvest eternal life.
Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith.
As I said at the beginning, today is a day of thankfulness to God for his goodness towards us, our harvest festival. I can remember as a young boy, when we were living in North Devon, and my father was a Baptist minister, for those of you who don't know, and on a Sunday round about this time of year, it was always a busy time. You'd have endless harvest festivals to attend, and By the age of 12, I can remember off by word. We play the fields and scatter. Come, ye thankful people, come. Because you'd be singing it three or four times on a Sunday for two or three Sundays on the trot. And it kind of registers in your mind. But you know what? I always remember the fact that it was such a blessed time because it spoke of God's continued creation. It spoke of God's continued order in things. We live in times that are very uncertain. We live in times that are very topsy-turvy. We can see everything being taken apart in many respects. But our God, as I've already said, is a creator God. And he sets things in order. He establishes things. And he makes promises. He makes promises that last. And he makes promises that are eternal. Unlike you and I, we can all make promises. And we probably mean well. And we might even keep some of those promises we make. But I know that I haven't kept every promise that I've made. And I'm sure you can say the same thing. But God is not like that. Because God stands outside of time. And when he makes a promise, he is not time limited in the sense that we are. We think of things in finite ways. God is infinite. He is eternal. He is the I Am. That is one of his titles. And we can thank him and praise him for that. And it's lovely just to see the food that, like I said, you know, we've got the vegetables and everything down below us. And it reminds us where every good thing comes from. Because I think we tend to live in a world now where most people are fairly detached from the idea of where all their food comes from. And they have no real idea. But it is from a loving Father who cares and meets our every need. You know, God's creation is very precious to him. One of the first things he said to Adam in the Garden of Eden was to go and take care of it, to tend the garden, to look after it, to look after his creation. We are charged with the responsibility of looking after God's creation and being thankful for it. You know, it's the original gardener's world, if you like, when Adam walked in fellowship with the Father and everything was in its place. But sadly, we know that didn't last. And sin came into the world. And we know the consequences of that. But, you know, God wants us to both enjoy and celebrate living in what he has given us, what he has created for us. Solomon said these words in Proverbs 3, verses 9 to 10. He said, honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. One or two of you here might have a barn. I haven't got a barn. But it's a very figurative way that Solomon writes here. And when he's talking about our barns, he's talking about our capacity for storage. What we allow. What we take on board. Honour the Lord with your wealth. What God has given to us, let's honour the Lord with that. We know very well that everything we receive from the Father is his gift to us. And we are called to honour that which he gives us by sharing what we have. That's one of the good principles of harvest, really, is that you don't store up everything for yourself and keep it for yourself. But that we share that which we have. There are always people who are in need. And the heart of God is that we share what he has blessed us with. And the greatest thing that we can share is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the greatest gift of all. There is no greater gift. God has given us his Son as a gift to us. That he might take our sins, all the thoughts, all the deeds, all the actions, all the bad stuff we've ever done. And Jesus took our place on the cross as we prayed earlier. That's the greatest gift there is. And we need to share that. We need to share that in a world that is quite broken. You know, like I said, when God promises something, it is a sure word. This is another quote from the Old Testament. This is from Malachi. Chapter 3. This might be familiar to many of you, perhaps. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I find that verse very challenging, because it actually challenges my conceptions, my hang-ups, if you like, about who God is and his might and his majesty. Because sometimes we can think of God as being rather distant and rather remote. Yet God is a God who wants to bless. He wants to bless each and every one of us. And I'm not just talking about material things. You know, it's not about, Lord, I want the fast car, the big house and all that. Because there's more important things than that. Because all those things that the world craves after, they're perishable. They're perishable. We won't take any of that when we go to heaven if we know and love the Lord. It's temporal. I'm not saying you shouldn't have good things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But when our prime focus is on the material need, then we're missing the point of what the Lord says to us here. Test me in this, says the Lord. What a strange idea, isn't it, to test God. You know, we might think, well, who are we to test God? I mean, you know, that's quite a challenge, isn't it? But the invitation is there. The invitation that the Lord gives is to come and approach him. To approach him in thankfulness. To approach him in expectation of what he can do. And there are mighty things that he can do. And he will continue to do. Things he will do in all of our lives. If we but allow him to do that. I will pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. The blessing is dependent. There's something that we need to do to receive God's blessing. Something that God expects of us. We need to be in the position where God can bless us. What I mean by that is not a geographical statement. Although God can call us to go to places in order to fulfill his promises and to fulfill his purposes. Certainly, yes. But being in the position to receive God's blessing is not necessarily about being in a spot somewhere. But it is about our state of heart. It's about our state of mind. It's about our focus and our thinking and where we direct those energies, if you like, and those things within us. You know, there are times when we read in God's word of his displeasure with religion that didn't have a true heart for him. When you look at the book of Amos in the Old Testament, he makes that very clear. And he's very forthright about religion that is heartless, that just goes through the motions. That is not acceptable to God. That's not being in the place where he wants us to receive his blessing. You know, before God made that statement through the prophet Malachi, he said this in three verses earlier in Malachi 3:7. He said, "Return to me and I will return to you." Return to me and I will return to you. When you look at me, when you come to me wholeheartedly, completely, entirely, when you surrender yourself to me, then we're moving into the place of blessing. Then we're moving into that realm where God can do mighty things in our lives and we can give thanks to him. And the more we move to him, the more blessing he will give us. And again, I stress this is not about material gain, but it is about more of a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. It is about more of the revelation of God and his purposes for each and every one of us so that we might share the good news. And we do have a good message to share. We have the best message to share of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about this morning in the idea of harvest. And we've just mentioned about the promises of God. And one of the first promises we read of in Scripture is the promise of order and stability in his creation that we might receive blessing from him. It was just after a time when the floodgates of heaven had been truly opened. You know, God just mentioned about open the floodgates. This is in a very literal sense. This is the time of Noah. And we all know the story of Noah, how God said to Noah, build an ark miles from the sea, landlocked. People laughed at him, thought he was a fool. What are you doing? But God said, build an ark because the time of judgment has come. And sadly, judgment has to take place. because the heart of people is so wicked. But Noah found favor with God because his heart was wholehearted. He was in the right place. And the blessing upon God, blessing upon Noah from God and his family, was that they would be saved. So Noah built the ark, and they were kept safe. And then the heavens opened, and the rain came down. But Noah recognized the most important fact. He recognized that his sufficiency lay with God alone. It lay nowhere else. And we know the story of Noah, and how the rain came down for 40 days and 40 nights, and they remained in the ark, and eventually the water subsided. And there came a time when they had to step out and start all over again. And the first thing that Noah did, he didn't build a cabin, he didn't build a house, but he actually made an offering to God. He cooked a meal. How about that? He cooked a meal and it pleased God. The aroma pleased him. Let's look at this. It's in Genesis chapter 8. And it's a lovely story because it's the first time we actually read in Scripture of the word harvest and God's promise with harvest. Genesis 8:20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." And this is the blessing. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. God has promised, as long as the earth endures, the promise that was given to Noah, that we are the recipients of here today, as we come and celebrate that goodness of God. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, they will never cease. There will always be a harvest. How about that? You know, I know climate change is very much at the forefront in our news. And I'm not going to get political, don't worry. But you know what? We can read this verse and we can be reassured of God's heart towards us. And I'm not saying there's not climate change. Please don't think that. Yes, I know things are changing. I can see that. One of our elders actually is a meteorologist at the Met Office in a church that I have. So I have to listen to what he says. And yes, there is climate change. I can guarantee it. But you know what God says? As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, the seasons, they will still be there. They will continue. And God is faithful to his word. It's a lovely touch by our Lord, really, because when you think about it, Noah had just witnessed the most cataclysmic event ever. And I don't know what he was thinking, I don't know what was going through his head, but he probably wanted some kind of reassurance from the Lord that something like this wasn't going to happen again. They were starting out again, Noah and his family, and God steps in. You know, the psalmist wrote, would write later on, "In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." How true that is. God is pleased with Noah's response. He gives back to God what God had given to him. And that's a good principle of harvest, isn't it? When we harvest things, when God blesses us with things, we are to give back and share that which we have and not keep for ourselves. You know, the tragic deception that many have is that God is not needed in their lives. The great sin of man is to want to live independently of our Lord and do it our own way. You know, but when we look at God's word, and it's lovely to hear the verses being memorized this morning, I think that's great. When we look at God's word time and time again, there are promises to uphold and bless and comfort his people when we put him first. Promises that God gives. You know, I love that psalm, one that I've quoted many times. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Taste and see. Again, it's the invitation that he gives, isn't it? Come on. God's saying, "Let Taste and see. I love you. My heart is for you. All that I have, I will share with you if you would be in the right place. In your hearts, in your minds, in the way you live. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Noah understood that. It was a heartfelt response that touched the Lord. And then he makes this covenant promise. In Genesis 9:13, we read this. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. I love the idea that God gives this promise to us. And we've seen rainbows many times, I've no doubt. And he combines the two things that are essential for life. He combines water and the sun. Both things are needed for everything to grow. And he forms the rainbow with them and says, this is my promise to you, and I'm never going to do this again. There will be seed time and harvest as long as the earth remains. Hallelujah. It's a lovely touch, isn't it? The water, you know, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Jesus speaks about coming to the well of life and drinking from the water that never dries up. When he met the Samaritan woman, he said to her, you know, look, come to the rivers of living water, not from just this well, but I give you real water that will sustain for eternal life. And we are invited to drink from that water. This was the first explicit covenant that God ever made with the human race. And it was the prelude to the greater covenant that extends beyond the presence of our lives here. And that covenant is the one he gave when he sent his son. Paul wrote this in Corinthians. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. All the promises of God are yes in Christ. When God made the covenant with Noah, it was yes in Christ. When God made the covenant not to flood the world again, it was yes in Christ. All the promises of God are yes in our Lord Jesus. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Jesus Christ. There was an old covenant that God had with his people, but they didn't keep the covenant. The children of Israel, they sinned and they went their own way. They wanted to be like the world and everyone else. And the covenant was broken, not by God. We could never keep a covenant with God. It is not in our nature. But praise be to him. He has granted us a new covenant by and through his Son, that we might approach the throne of grace boldly and there find mercy and grace because of what Jesus has done for us. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and chapter 8, right towards the end of our Bibles. And we read this. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8. That's it. We have. Here it is, yes. The time is to come and declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. This is the new covenant that the Lord was speaking about with his son. And with the house of Judah. It will not like be the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Hallelujah. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother say, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. The blessings of God can be realized in our lives when we position ourselves in Jesus Christ. The blessings of God can only be realized in our lives when we position ourselves in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. This is the new covenant that God gives us. And it is by and through his Son. When Paul again wrote to the church at Philippi, he reminded them, saying that my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. All your needs. Not some of them. Not occasional. But all your needs in Jesus Christ. God is the great provider. And no matter what the need is, he will provide. He's not limited by circumstance or men and their actions. Whatever the need is, it is never greater than God. Let us never forget that. But there is one small word that is crucial in the application of what Paul says there. He says this, my God will meet all your needs. It's the word my. My God. Do you know my God? Can you say my God? Do you have that relationship with him by and through the power and work of our Lord Jesus? Do you know God? You cannot live off somebody else's experience. You cannot live off somebody else's great stories about what God has done in their lives. Because God wants a relationship with you. Jesus wants you to come to him. Jesus wants us to know more of him. So that we might have the Father revealed to us. It has to be our relationship. This is the positioning that I was talking about earlier. We have to make sure that we are in the place to receive God's blessing. We have to know that Lord Jesus is our Savior and he has died for us and he loves us. And he has loved us with an eternal love. It's all about relationship. It really is. You know, Noah wanted to establish a relationship with his God when he came at the ark. That's the one thing he wanted. He wanted to do something to bless his Father, his Heavenly Father. He wanted to establish that relationship that the rest of the world had turned away from, sadly. And we all know what had happened. This is more of the fruit of the Spirit that Jesus wants to produce in us. More trust, more endurance, more self-control. More goodness, more joy, more gentleness, more meekness, more faithfulness. These are the real fruits that we read of in Galatians, that Paul speaks of, the fruit of the Spirit. This is the blessing that God wants to bring out in us, because we can't do it ourselves. We can be good for a little while, maybe. But sooner or later, somebody's going to say something and do something, and we will lose it. And a lot of it will go out the window. But the Lord is gracious. He understands. He knows. And very gently, he would have us turn back to him to get into that position with him that he can actually minister to our hearts and minds so that we can share the blessing that he has given us with others to pass it on. You know, I believe the Father loves his Son so much that he will do anything for the person who honours him. When we sacrificially give, when we sacrificially extend and want to share the good news of Jesus Christ about with others, God can do much, much more in our lives. We read this in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of God that worketh in us." Exceedingly more. I don't know what you think your limit is, but Paul says that Jesus wants to take us beyond that. There's exceedingly more he can do in our lives when we yield to him. You know, I mentioned at the beginning that Barry was my Sunday school teacher when I was I don't know, 8 or 9 year old, perhaps something like that, 7 or 8. I can't remember. It seems a long time ago. But what was happening there, and I'm sure this is the same for many of you here this morning, is that someone was passing on the blessing that God had given them to others. God blesses us with people around us in our lives to share the good news of Jesus that we might respond. I can think of people who are pivotal in my life who led me to the Lord. And it's sharing the good news. It's passing it on, isn't it? It's sowing and reaping. And now this brings us to the to the final bit, if you like, that was read earlier. Are those dear ones down here from Galatians? About sowing and reaping. Paul wrote about that. About what we sow and what we reap. And the need to sow wisely. And then we can reap a harvest if we do that. You know, we may not realise it, but every day is an opportunity for sowing and reaping. The things we say, the things we do, the actions we take. A lot of what we'd say and do will sow seeds to other people. And a lot of what we say and do, we can reap the consequences later on. So it's good to think about these things in some respects, isn't it? But how do we sow and reap? What's foremost in our mind? Because whatever we reap as a harvest will be determined by the field that we sow in. You can sow in the field of the world, or you can sow in God's kingdom. God's kingdom is the better place to sow in. If you want to do some sowing in God's kingdom. Do the things that pleases our Lord. The things of the Spirit, by and through the power of His Spirit that He has granted us. You know, every day is an opportunity to sow wisely or unwisely. And Paul made the point in Galatians 6:10 that we are to live lives in a manner that reflects what Christ has done for us. Sowing the good news of Jesus, especially to the family of believers, he says in verse 10. You know, when our vision is limited to the things that are temporal, then we're not sowing wisely. We need to look beyond that. Paul says, the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. How about that? We never know how things will pan out in the future. 2 years ago, none of us would ever realised that we'd have gone through what we've just gone through. None of us knew that. And it's taken us all by surprise in some respect. But we should keep sowing the seed of faith. We should keep sowing that which Christ has shown and taught us. There's a lovely story I just want to share with you very briefly. And I don't think I've shared this here before. If I have, forgive me if you've heard it. For those of you who haven't heard it, then it will be new to you, and that's fine. But that's okay. But it's a lovely story about Corrie ten Boom and her nephew. Now, Corrie ten Boom was a lady who, if you didn't know, she was in a German concentration camp. And she was there with her sister, and her sister died in the concentration camp. And they were put there for helping Jews during the war. They were found that they had been hiding Jews and keeping them from the Germans and all that entailed. And they were sent to the concentration camp. And Corrie ten Boom, after the war, spent much of her life going around and sharing her experiences and preaching and teaching about the goodness of God, even in a place like that. And also her nephew's name is Peter, he also went about sharing the experience that the family had during the wartime. And he was sharing the same message of God's goodness and faithfulness, even in the darkest of times. And he was on tour in Israel. And whilst he was there, he had a heart attack. And it was a serious one. And he was rushed to hospital, needed surgery. And he was talking to the cardiologist who was going to operate on him just before he went into the operating theatre. This was many years after the war, obviously. And the surgeon said this to him. He said, are you related to the Ten Booms of Holland? I don't know how many Ten Booms in Holland there are. There might be quite a few, I don't know. But anyway, he made that point. He said to him, are you related to them? And he said, yes, that's my family. And he said, well, I'm one of those children that your family saved. That must have been more reassuring than any anaesthetic that he could hear at that time, I would imagine. But it was the sowing that went on years before. The sowing, even in a concentration camp. The sowing where they put their lives at risk because they wanted to reflect the love of the Lord Jesus. And many years later, you have this wonderful circumstance. You know, the next day, this man whose life was saved 40 years earlier, I think, it was many, many years after the war, was able to return the favour. Isn't that lovely? How God works, God's economy. We don't see the beginning and the end, but he does. And all he calls us to do is to be faithful. So let's give thanks to him this morning. There's much more we could say, but our time is sadly gone. And, you know, there's one thing that Jesus said, just to finish up. Jesus directs us to consider the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest is our Heavenly Father. It's his Father. All he calls upon us is that we sow generously, that we sow in the kingdom of God, because the harvest is an eternal harvest. We pray to the Lord of the harvest. We leave that with God. So often we can get hooked into trying to make everything right and perfect. Just have faith, a simple faith. He is the Lord of the harvest, not us, but he wants us to sow the good message of Jesus in a world that is ripe for harvesting. Boy, oh boy, we're living in times where people need to know the good news of Jesus Christ. So like Noah, we have much to give thanks for. We have much to praise God for, to thank him for all these promises that he gives us. And next year, God willing, there'll be another harvest and we can be here. But in the meantime, we've got a year of sowing. How about that? Let's give thanks to him for all his goodness to us. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. How great you are. Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, you have taken the initiative. Lord, we thank you that you lead in all things and you lead us in paths of righteousness. Lord, we would ask this morning that we would continue to walk with you in those paths. Lord, that we might know your way, that we might see things the way you do, Lord. Lord, that we might sow wisely in the lives that we live, Lord. That we might sow for your kingdom, Lord, your eternal kingdom, the kingdom that does not perish or fade away. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we ask your blessings upon us now in the week ahead in all that we say, do and think. For you alone are worthy of all praise and honour, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that, Lord, we would glorify you in everything that we do, Lord. Blessed be your name. Amen.